We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for today, and we ask, Father, now that your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps in spite of me. Amen and amen. Now, Jill and I have never been to Israel, never been to the Holy Land, and I kind of want to go, but I'm cheap, so I probably won't go. But I want to go because there's this one exhibit I want to see at the museum in Israel. And the museum in Israel, get the name of this, it's called the Israel Museum. Clever, right? So it's called. But they have this one exhibit I am dying to see in real life. And it's not some fancy artwork, and it's not some pottery from the days of Jesus. It's not the Holy Grail. It is an amulet made of silver that it took them 3 years to figure out how to unroll and open so they could see what was there, because they didn't want to damage it. And on this amulet there's just 15 words in a language we don't know. It's not the Hebrew language that we know. It's a language called Semitic, and which would be the first alphabet known to man. And it's written, and they have translated it, and they have dated this to be about 2,700 years old. Anybody want to guess what's on there? It's the Aaron blessing, or the priestly blessing, or what we call here, it's our benediction. And they found this from 2,700 years ago. And it was preserved almost perfectly. Now, this is an old thing. And the benediction we do every week has been around since Moses in the wilderness. But at the same time, if you pay attention in culture today, you will find it being used a lot more than you realize. For example, there was a movie back, I think in 1998, called Deep Impact. It was really a bad movie. The only good part is it had a great president, you know, Morgan Freeman. He's got like the best voice, right? And listen what he does to the American people.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift up his divine countenance upon you and give you peace.
Right? Isn't that amazing? And then anybody know who Leonard Cohen is? He was a singer. He wrote the song Hallelujah that everyone sings all the time. Well, he was raised Jewish. In fact, he claims to be a direct descendant of the first high priest Aaron, right? And at the end of a lot of his concerts, especially in Israel, he would give the blessing in Hebrew. Watch this.
So, dear friends, you will let the fall Adonai Vishmerecha. You wear Adonai Ponovi Lecha Vikunecha. Iso Adonai Ponovi Lecha. Isim Lecha.
I would love to go to like a concert and they end that way. It would be like perfect, right? And then if that's not good enough for you, if you don't really like Leonard Cohen, anybody know who Bob Dylan is? Anybody like Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan was raised Jewish, and when he had his first son, he wrote this song, ripped it off from the blessing.
May God bless and keep you always. May
if you're not a Dylan fan, years later, Rod Stewart recorded it. The song is Forever Young. Rod Stewart recorded it, and he sounds like this. A lot more fun. And a lot longer introduction. So if you don't like Morgan Freeman or Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan or Rod Stewart, we've got to talk later because that's some problems with that. If you don't like them, how about Leonard Nimoy? Yeah, Leonard Nimoy was raised Orthodox Jew. In the Orthodox Jewish church, you went too far. Go back one slide. Why do I pay you? There you go. In the Orthodox church, When the priest would give the blessing, this is what they would do. And it was, you weren't allowed to look at him, right? But Nimoy would peek, and he would see this. And it made such an impression on him that when they were trying to figure out how Vulcans would greet one another, Leonard Nimoy wanted to do this. And he will tell you, if you watch the interview, that he summarized the Hebrew understanding of the blessing in that famous phrase that he would say, which was, live long and prosper. So this blessing has been preserved, it has been used, it has been repeated. You hear it almost for 5 years now. Do you believe that? We're coming up to the 5-year anniversary. You've been hearing this every Sunday that I'm here for 5 years long. And you can find it in all sorts of writings and in other things. And the only problem with this blessing is that God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to put it in one of the two least popular books in the entire Bible. It's not in Leviticus, which is the best book in the Bible. It's in Numbers. Really? Numbers? If you read Numbers, you'll find that it's full of numbers. I mean, for a liberal arts brain, it is torture. Richard Klein loves it. I will argue that the book of Numbers is the number one reason why so many Christians fail at their New Year's resolutions, right? Because you say, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover, right? And you start off great. Genesis, Exodus, I know that. Then there's Leviticus. I'll deal with it because Marty likes it. And you're finishing up Leviticus, and you're ready to turn the page, and you're praying, please, God, something interesting, something good. And you turn the page, and it's Numbers. And if you manage to get through the first 5 chapters before quitting, you are a survivor. And if you can get to the 6th chapter, through the first 21 verses, you will find this gem, this blessing sitting there. Now, what's interesting is right before this blessing is the vows that a Nazirite has to take. Now, a Nazirite was like 1% of the population of the Jewish faith, maybe, right? They were the holy of holies. They were the ones. They were like the Mother Teresa, the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, the Francis of Assisi, the Pope John Paul, all wrapped up into one, right? They were normal people like us. We wouldn't be there. We would mess up, right? But not them. And so what God does is he takes his blessing after going over the whole Nazirite vow, and he says, well, this is why he does it, because he knows us, right? He knows that what we would say is, oh, sure, Mother Teresa, of course God loves her. Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Yeah, of course. God looks favorably on him because look what he did. But surely not me, because I mess up again and again and again, right? And so what God does is he puts this blessing. And he tells Moses, this is what's beautiful, tell the priest, tell Aaron that this blessing is for everyone. Right? There's no test to make sure you're holy enough. There's no levels of holiness. You don't get, I'm sorry, you guys over here, you don't get the first part of the blessing because you guys messed up. It's none of that. For the whole community. And then what they do is even more brilliant. In all of Hebrew, in Hebrew scripture, you will see the word you, right? Translated you. And what they really would say if they were from, like, you guys, they would say y'all. Because in the Jewish faith, it is never about you. It's always about the community. It's y'all, right? And so what this should have read is, may the Lord bless y'all. And I'm just thankful. We wouldn't be doing the benediction if it was that. But and why that's so important is because God knew that Robert would be sitting over there saying, well, blessing can't be for me. If he knew what I did this week, surely God would not look favorably on me. But the blessing is for you. And for you, and you, and you, and even you. And that's what this blessing is about. It's about you. And God says, may the Lord bless you. Now, we're going to take a moment and look at this. And verse 24, I know it's wrong on the notes, Tom. Verse 24, the word that he uses, the Lord bless you. The word for bless and blessing that is used is barak, which literally means to bow, to kneel down and adore in adoration. Do we have it? Blessing barak. To adore on a bended knee, right? And what's brilliant about this is God is so much fun. He really is, because usually in the Hebrew faith, it is us blessing God, that we approach God on bended knee and we give him the adoration, right? That's how we expect it. But what this benediction, this blessing is saying, get this. Who's doing the blessing? The Lord. Which implies that God is coming to you bending down to serve and to offer what we need. Spock would say, live long and prosper. Jewish rabbis would say, protection, grace, peace. May the Lord bless you. And then keep you. Then he says, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The word face is Hebrew. The Hebrew word is very similar to the word light. So what could have said is, may the Lord make his light to shine upon you. The only way I can really explain this is to explain the opposite. In Scripture, in Psalms, and in all over Scripture, you see that you'll find that many times it is written that God hid his face, right? It's in Psalms, it's in the prophets, and usually when God hides his face, it's out of anger or something that you did wrong and God hid his face. But this is the exact opposite. What he's saying is I'm gonna let you see my face. My face is gonna shine on you. And when someone shining one's face, it means you're gonna have a true companionship. A deep relationship. This part of the benediction is about truly experiencing the presence of God. And God says, I'm going to be with you when you leave this place. And then the final one. You want to put it up? The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, Matt asked me one time, he said, Marty, why do you do this benediction? Every week. Same one. And you've been doing it your whole ministry. And Matt, this is the reason why. This clause, this phrase, this verse right here. See, you could substitute the word face for countenance, but the most important part of this one, and give you peace. The Hebrew word used for peace is shalom, which has no English translation. It's a wholeness. What I like to say, shalom is what is how God intended this whole world to be when he created it in the first place. And that's what he's offering us, right? But here's the problem, though. Unless you believe everything prior to give you peace, unless you believe that is really for you, you will never get to experience the shalom that he promises. Because what he wants us to know, it doesn't matter how good looking you are, how successful you are, how much money you give, how smart you are, how talented you are. God loves us simply because God created us. And we can put up all these little games, all these little masks, play all these little, but God knows exactly who we are. Because like he said, I knew you, I formed you. I knew you before you were even born. That's the benediction. And in this phrase, God is saying, I will recognize you. I will see you. I will acknowledge you. I will know that you're there. That's why we do this. To remind us that no matter what we go through, God is with us. Right? And what I love about this thing, it's not a prayer. Some people think the blessing is a prayer. It is not a prayer. Prayer is when we come to God and we usually, we unload on God and we ask God to do something, right? This is God's promise of what he's going to do for us. Because he says, I will keep you. I will protect you. I will give you grace. I will give you peace. I will be with you. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I need to hear that every Sunday. I need to be reminded before I go out into the world that is often a non-graceful place that would rather tear me down than build me up. That would rather pile on with one thing after another, right? I need to know that I don't face any of it alone. That I have a God who is with me. That's why I end it. And then I also figure I'm in pretty good company, right? If you read Luke's gospel, which is a lot easier to read than Numbers, but if you read Luke's gospel, when you get to the end of it, Luke talks about Jesus. And he says, Jesus raised his hands and he blessed the disciples. Now, I would imagine, since Jesus heard this blessing every day of his life, I would imagine this was the blessing he gave. So he's there, disciples, the nail-scarred hands, and he lifts them and he says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And then according to the gospel, he was ascended. He was taken into heaven. And the last thing they heard, and may he give you peace. It's amazing. The very first words that introduced Jesus was words of peace, and the very last words he spoke here were a wish for peace. That's the benediction. Now, I do have to admit to you, when Rusty told me he wanted me to preach this for Commitment Sunday, I thought he lost his mind. How am I going to pull that one off, right? I mean, geez. Benediction, money, gift cards, blah, blah. And then it hit me. you have this folder, right, of stuff, and it's beautifully done. Matt and Rusty and people put that together, did a beautiful job. But it's just a bunch of numbers, right? Numbers, percentages, facts, figures, and all this head stuff. Well, I've been around long enough to know that head stuff, we don't commit because of that. We commit because of heart stuff. And it is my argument that unless you can believe this benediction is for you, you're never going to commit to this church, to any church. But if you can understand that the God who created all of this, the God who put every star in its place, the God who knows you by your very name, the God who looks at you and smiles, if you can believe that is for you, then the only response I can think of is to give everything we have to him. That's a benediction. And you know, really, if you think about it, the benediction may best be summed up not in live long and prosper, may be best summed up in we have a God who really does believe that you and you and you and you really is the best of the best of the best. That's the gospel. That's what I believe. That's what everything I believe is built on. So here's the deal. I'm going to, Aaron, second time I've done that. Kimball and Matt and Melissa are going to come forward. They're going to, this beautiful arrangement to the benediction. And I hope you'll listen to it. And as you listen to it, I hope you will consider the gift that you are going to make, the commitment. And then following this, we'll have something and an opportunity to bring the, Matt will give you the opportunity to bring the cards forward and place them in the basket. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go from this place, and may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing, nothing you can do that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.